going, everybody? Manny Vietes back again with the Vietes Rundown. Hey, I know it's been a while, and I know I haven't put out a show in about 4 or 5 months, but I have been doing things other than sports-related in my life. I've been studying for the LSAT, passed the LSAT, got a scholarship to law school, about to attend the University of Miami, coming up here in the fall, and I've been getting ready to graduate, so I've had a lot of things going on with the last couple months. So now I'm finally getting back to the podcast. I've been covering sports closely, though. I haven't been too far away from it, so I've been watching the playoffs. I've been watching a lot of hockey playoffs and a lot of Golden Knights games, as you guys can imagine, but I have kept a close eye on the NBA all year long, and what do you know it? We've came down to the last four teams, and these four teams, at the beginning of the season, everyone projected that they were going to be the last four remaining. You know, you got the Rockets versus the Warriors right now, and you got the Celtics versus the Cavs. Although everyone thought it was going to be Celtics-Cavs in a different type of way with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward in the lineup, but now it's this young, youthful Celtics team that has to go up against LeBron here in the Eastern Conference Finals. So again, guys, I just want to say sorry for not putting out episodes, but hey, we're back now, and we're going to go straight into it and talk about the NBA playoffs, and I wanted to talk about LeBron to start out. I've been hearing a lot of stuff, a lot of people saying, oh yeah, like LeBron hasn't done this, LeBron still hasn't done that, you know, he's three and five in the finals. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm a big LeBron guy. A lot of people know me. I just don't understand where these people are keep getting these thoughts from. You know, what hasn't he not, like, where are you guys getting these things from? What more things can you ask of this guy? You know, this guy's made it to, I think it was, what, 7 or 8 consecutive finals now. You know, he's literally leading I don't think there's been anyone in basketball where their whole team was taken away from in the middle of the season, just how LeBron was this year, and now he propelled them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, and to be honest with you, Kevin Love wasn't anywhere during that first series, and J.R. Smith wasn't there, and LeBron was the only one who propelled them against the Pacers, and you know, and Jordan Clarkson, all these guys, Larry Nance, where have they been? Nowhere. It's LeBron playing with Kevin Love, and then who's the third guy? You know. And he's been playing like that the half of the season, and he knew it was going to be hard at the beginning of the year when Kyrie left, and you know, he knew he had to get, you know, more guys in there. He knew he had to get more pieces. Isaiah Thomas didn't really pan out. But then, you know, you started to see towards, you know, this last series that, like, you know, hey, maybe if some of these guys can get started around LeBron, maybe they have a chance to actually do something. If they get to the finals and face the Warriors or the Rockets, maybe they can actually win. I believe the Cavs are going to make it to the finals this year. I don't think that the Celtics have, you know, the veteran leadership to actually take it past, you know, maybe like 6 or 7 games. I think it's going to be like a five game series, maybe 6. But like, I don't know where all these people, especially the first round, you know, like when they're playing the Pacers, everyone's like, oh, you know, this isn't the same LeBron. LeBron's gonna be out in the first round for the first time, you know, in years, you know. And then it's like, dude, like, chill out, calm your horse, like, hold your horses. LeBron is still LeBron, and look what he did. He dropped 40 in about 4 of those games in the first round, still doing LeBron stuff, triple doubles. His numbers have the best numbers in all of the playoffs. And people were so quick to jump on this Sixers bandwagon and say, hey, you know, like, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are out here. They're for sure going to the finals. Like, I remember watching Stephen A. Smith a couple of weeks ago. I'm 100% sold on the Sixers making it to the finals. It's like, dude, like, calm down. It was the first round of the playoffs, first series. And now look, the Sixers got eliminated by a youthful Celtics team and got outcoached to the max. I don't know if you guys saw that one game. I think it was game 3 when they just got outcoached. It was a completely outcoached game. Ben Simmons threw an ill-advised inbound pass. The Celtics threw a pass to a wide open Al Horford right underneath the basket to take him to overtime. I mean, so like all these opinions about, you know, this whole Sixers being better than the Cavs thing towards that first round of the series, around the first round, was just completely preposterous, just completely, like, just out of the blue, kind of crazy. You know, I never really made no assumptions like that, because I knew the whole time that, you know, LeBron could probably do it. I have that faith in him. Yeah, so I'm just, I'm not completely sold on the Sixers either yet. I'm going to get to them in a second. But I want to talk about this last series too that the Cavs had. They played Toronto. Toronto, I feel really bad for DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Like, these guys have gotten beat by LeBron so many times in the playoffs that, I remember last year DeMar DeRozan was like, "Man, I can't believe we're facing this guy again. Like, we always have to run into LeBron and we always lose against LeBron." It's kind of this thing where, like, DeMar DeRozan, is a good enough player to make it to the finals, but he's stuck on this team where you have to make it through LeBron. And LeBron knows that if he goes to the West, he's going to have a harder time, but he's only have to watch out for a couple guys in the East, like maybe a Victor Oladipo, or when Kyrie and Gordon Hayward get healthy, and then obviously like Ben Simmons and them, and then now Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, they always cross paths. LeBron's always victorious. I mean, that's kind of how the story's been going. But it becomes a problem when your all-star players on a pretty good team on a you know they were higher seeded than the, they were the first seed in the East, I believe. When a team like that, their all-stars don't show up. They just really didn't show up. Let me tell you guys this number. So LeBron, he had 136 points in the playoff series, 33 rebounds, 45 assists, right? So hear me out, guys. He had 136 points. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan combined in the series had 138 points. And they shot 53 shots. LeBron made 57, and they made 53. That's crazy. That's crazy. How can two of your best players on your team don't show up? First of all, they obviously didn't show up. Some of them didn't even get past 15 points on every night, and that's not good in the playoffs. Your two best players can't even score 15 points. You're obviously not going to go anywhere. But although it's LeBron, you can't just use this thing, "Oh, it's LeBron, whatever. He's supposed to be, better than two or three players on one team, but not two all-stars." Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan have no excuse for this happening. LeBron isn't a whole team. I'm a LeBron fan, but I'm not going to be out here and saying LeBron's a whole team. He could do it all by himself, because he can't. Because we've seen it in the finals last year. And he would try to propel himself and do stuff by his own, but he really couldn't. And Kyrie tried to do the same thing. That's why they're not together. But these type of things it's honestly crazy. I don't know if it's like this like voodoo that travels around like LeBron and like these other guys in the East just don't do well against him. It's honestly crazy. Maybe Victor Oladipo doesn't have that same voodoo, but stuff is that's it's getting kind of crazy in Toronto, and it's becoming this thing where maybe they should blow it up and try something new, because I'm pretty sure DeMar DeRozan does not want to be stuck there and keep on losing to LeBron every single year. Especially if LeBron stays there. I don't see Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan staying together there for too long. And especially when they first started playing with each other, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they weren't even close with each other. They weren't even friends. I remember we were talking to DeMar at the All-Star weekend a year ago. And he was saying, "Yeah, me and Kyle didn't even have each other's phone number the first couple of years he was on the team. Never acknowledged him, nothing like that." And so, I really don't feel like these guys, although they might be good friends now, but I really don't feel like these guys have like the true chemistry that like a 1 and 2 tandem need to have, like a Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. There's better 1-2 combos out there. These guys might need to mix it up coming here in the future, especially if they want to get past LeBron if he decides to stay. All right, so I'm done talking about the Raptors. Let's move on to the other series, to the Sixers. So the Sixers look good in the first round. They got Joel Embiid back, and he was actually hooping, which was good to see. Ben Simmons did his thing in that first round too. But then you came to the second round, and they play against the Celtics, right? Here's my take on this. Brad Stevens just outcoached that whole team throughout that whole series. They had no answer for him. If you have Terry Rozier is scoring about 17 to 25 points a game, you're in a world of hurt. This guy literally just stepped up right in Kyrie Irving's shoes. Literally went out there and started balling, and then you as the Sixers just fall back and don't even acknowledge that you have an all-star center. You have two of the best shooters in the NBA and Bellinelli and JJ Redick, and you got Ben Simmons on your team, 6'11 point guard that no one could really guard in the NBA. And you literally put your backs are against the wall to a 6'4 Terry Rozier. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? You don't have no defensive scheme to get by that, or, you know, get around that. And, you know, I understand the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown thing. Those guys are, you know, true offensive players. They're good on both sides of the ball. But, you know, like, you have to do something. You got Ben Simmons at least guard one of them. You have Covington. You got Dario Saric. These guys need to push out on the perimeter and guard these guys. It felt like these guys were collapsing the defense so quick that they were getting easy buckets in transition. They were getting easy buckets one dribble straight to the basket, one dribble pull up, which is what Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown's like go-to move, and they did it every single game, and there was nothing that they could do about it. And then another thing, where was Joel Embiid? Like, you know, he needs to just murder down there in the paint. You got an old Al Horford. Not to say Al Horford's a bad player, but he's getting old. Joel Embiid is, you know, a way better skilled player than him. You should be scoring 25 to 30 points every single game, getting your teammates involved. You know, it was just, there was a lot of things that I could say they could have done better, especially Ben Simmons. He got outplayed in mostly all of the games. That one game, I believe, he only had like 2 or 3 points. It was like very bad shooting from the field, one of those games, reason why they lost. But, you know, when it comes down to it, they got outcoached, but they can also use this as a positive thing to go into the future. You know, they could possibly get somebody this offseason, like a LeBron, maybe a Kawhi Leonard, someone that can actually get them to that next level and have some veteran type of leadership in that locker room. But right now, you know, they're such a young team. You got basically three rookies on the team, and Joel Embiid, Saric, and Ben Simmons. And those guys are supposed to, you know, lead you guys to the future. But you run into these teams where they have these veteran coaches that know what they're doing, and they, you know, they can just out coach you, and, you know, they're out coached. They're just young guys. They didn't really have the opportunity to actually expose all their talents, because, you know, they were in that situation where they went down 1-0, they went down 2-0, they went down 3-0. They're about to get swept. They don't want to get swept. So they, you know, win game four, they lose game five. It's just one of those things where, you know, they're going to grow in time. They're going to have some more experience looming on the horizon. It's just one of those things where, you know, they have to develop. They have to take some time to themselves and just evaluate their whole situation around them. Okay, so that's my take on what happened with the Sixers team. I thought that they were going to go to the finals as well. Like, for just one second during that first round, I'm like, okay, these guys could possibly beat LeBron. Maybe Ben Simmons is playing out of his mind. Then they literally shut down and go into the turtle mode. Don't do anything, you know. And then like I see LeBron start playing well, and I'm like, all right, yeah, you know, silence all these haters, LeBron, like you always do. All right, so now I want to talk about the Celtics. You know, like, with Terry Rozier playing so good, it's like, what are they going to do when Kyrie comes back? Is Terry Rozier trying to get out of there and go do something else on his own, maybe become a starting point guard on another team? I know there's going to be some offers coming at him for sure. And it's crazy. The Celtics are actually the first team in NBA history to win multiple playoff series without their leading scorer, which, you know, they don't have Kyrie for the season. And that's honestly crazy. Like, you know, that's, it definitely plays a part that they have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in there. And, you know, I said this on my podcast around the NBA draft. I cannot believe that. So, like, it was like 2 weeks before the Sixers before the Sixers traded up and they got Markelle Fultz, right? But they were saying, they're like, okay, Ben Simmons is playing this year. Ben Simmons is going to be our guy. He's going to be our point guard. He's running our team, right? And I'm just like, okay, yeah, this could work. You know, I've seen him. I've seen highlights. I've seen him play in person. Like, this guy can actually handle the ball. He, you know, he's good. And then you're like, okay, well, they traded up to get the number one pick from the Celtics, right? And then I'm just like, okay, like, so they literally are all sold on Markelle Fultz now. Like, Markelle Fultz is now going to be their point guard when they just assigned Ben Simmons to be their point guard. You know, I really didn't understand that situation, right? And then, you know, draft day comes. The Celtics came out and said, oh, yeah, we were going to get Jason Tatum at number one anyways. So let's just, you know, stack up on another pick and, you know, let's move back two more spots. And, you know, let's draft Jason Tatum anyways, right? Imagine right now if the 76ers drafted Jason Tatum besides Markelle Fultz, because Markelle Fultz obviously didn't have a great year. Jason Tatum had an outstanding rookie year. I mean, if it was any other rookie season, Jason Tatum would be rookie of the year, but we got Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell, right? But Jason Tatum was out here hooping this year, and you see him in the playoffs right now. He's out here, you know, scoring 25, 30 points a game. He's the go-to guy. he's the go-to guy on offense that will get you a bucket. And he can get to the basket very, very quickly, more than anyone else on the team can. And that just goes to show that, like, you know, maybe the Sixers were so gung-ho, like, wanted to, like, they're so in the mood to get better. Like, they want to get better so bad. And, like, and they felt this, like, rush of, like, okay, we got to get the number one pick. Let's get more hype around us, you know. And they kind of missed out on a gym in Jason Tatum. Like, I knew Jason Tatum was the most NBA-ready player. If he would have been on the Sixers, who knows, maybe they probably would have won that playoff series and they could probably be in the Eastern Conference Finals right now to go against LeBron. And you know, who knows, maybe that team would have beat LeBron. You never really know. But that was my take. I thought the Sixers should have drafted Jason Tatum. They would have a nasty 1-2-3 lineup. They'd have Ben Simmons at the 1, J.J. Redick at the 2, Jason Tatum, Dario Saric, and Joel Embiid. That would be probably unstoppable within the next 5 years. They missed out on a gem right there. If I was... you know, if I was their GM over there, I would definitely, you know, be mad at myself now that I see the true potential. So let's go back. So let's go on to the East. I mean, on to the Western Conference. A guy that, you know, that has surprised me this year just a little bit, but I mean, I kind of knew because my boy Leo was hyping him up all the time during the pre-draft workouts in SAC, is Donovan Mitchell, right? So let me tell you this funny story with Donovan Mitchell. So my boy Leo is at the Sacramento Kings workouts. He's seeing he's watching Donovan Mitchell hoop. And he's like, damn, this guy's really good, man. He calls me up saying, man, hey, the Kings are gonna take him. Like the Kings are gonna take him at 10. And I was like, really, man? Like nah. Like there's so many better players left at 10. Like we should not even touch him. Like he's like a late first round pick, early second round. And he's like, no, man, trust me. This guy's like the truth, you know. And I'm just like, all right, yeah, whatever. And then anyways, I'm at the NBA draft come June, right? And then we draft De'Aaron Fox at 5, the Sacramento Kings. And then it was like a pick 7, you know, everyone's like talking and stuff like that. And then we end up trading our 10th pick to the Portland Trailblazers, right? And then we get the 15th and 20th pick and we get the 15th and 20th pick back from them. Then the Trailblazers take Zach Collins, right? And then the Jazz are next and they take Donovan Mitchell. And I'm just like, damn, like Donovan Mitchell really went first round, like right where my boy said he was going to go, right? And I'm like, damn, like hopefully the Kings didn't miss out on him like my boy was saying, right? And then we get, you know, 15th pick, we get Justin Jackson, and then we get Harry Giles at the 20th pick. And I'm just like, dude, like, you know, like hope these guys are going to pan out. Justin Jackson won an NCAA championship. Harry Giles was supposed to be the number one pick a year ago. I'm like, okay, maybe this was a good move on Vlade's part. You know, maybe he's doing the right thing. But then, you know, obviously halfway through the season, dunk contest comes up, Donovan Mitchell kills it, he's having a great rookie year. I'm just like, what the hell did the Kings do, man? Like, Donovan Mitchell was their guy. They were going to have De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, the one and the two. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that in years to come, that could be, like, the next best 1-2 combo right there, and we just missed out on it. And I still think about that to this day, you know. And then I watched the playoffs, and I'm like, this guy is a cold-blooded killer, man. Like, he won that first round, you know. It was just nuts. He was breaking all these rookie playoff, you know, all these rookie playoff stats that Michael Jordan had. Like, and I'm just like, dude, like the Kings had the opportunity to definitely do this, but you know, once again, they miss out on a good opportunity. You know, just like how they missed out on a couple of good players in the past, and they drafted horribly with Thomas Robinson and a couple of these other guys and missed out on true potential talent. Anyways, yeah, the Utah Jazz made a crazy turnaround as well. You know, you were like, all right, well, they get Donovan Mitchell, you know, they get Ricky Rubio, they trade for Crowder, and you're like, all right, well, you know, maybe they'll be like maybe in the borderline of making the playoffs. But no, this team was a real, real team. They lost their leading scorer, Gordon Hayward, last year, and they come back and just dog it out in the playoffs, which was really, really good to see. It was good to see that, like, a team just like, you know, it was their situation. It was similar to the Pacers situation. The Pacers lost Paul George, went to the Thunder, and then you got Victor Oladipo coming over, Domantas Sabonis. You don't really know how these players are going to play together, but then they come out and just, you know, just ball out. End up playing really, really well together. They're kind of a team that you didn't have no expectations for, but then they just came out and just started hooping together, doing really, really good things. And then it's just like, damn, in the NBA, like, can you do turnarounds that quick? You know, like, can you take something from nothing that, like that quick? And I feel like that's, like, the new wave that things are going to go to. Like, yeah, who cares if we lose our star player? You know, we're gonna draft well, and we're gonna get a couple group of guys that are gonna like play really hard. I feel like that's the way that the NBA is gonna go now. Although, I mean, it takes a while to get like to the Warriors level or you know to the Rockets level. You gotta actually have some decent players to move other pieces around. But you know, in the new age of the NBA, where you're competing with the Warriors and you're competing with you know these teams that have like these mega teams, your best bet now would probably be to do what the Pacers did, do what the Jazz did, just rebuild from the bottom up, a small rebuild. But you know, it gives your fans hope. It gives your organization hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Because you know, obviously the Jazz probably won't win within the next 3 or 4 years. But on that fifth year, you know, when they re-sign Donovan Mitchell, you know, and they get the ball rolling with Rudy Gobert, you know, they might be a force to be reckoned with. And then a free agent might come through and say, hey, you know, I want to be that third piece. You know, a third or fourth piece, and you know, I'll actually get you guys to the Western Conference Finals, and you know, go to the finals. You know, and that's where I feel like the NBA is going now, because you're not going to land all these free agents. Like for instance, like the Lakers think that they're going to get Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, like LeBron. Like you know, like Lakers fans, you know, always drive me crazy. You know, but like I feel like right now the Lakers are doing the right thing by not doing that. Like, do not do that. Do not give up your money. Do not trade off your young assets right now. Brandon Ingram, all these guys, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball. Like, you're good for right now. Like, live in the moment. Take your L's. Take your losses. And then in 4 to 5 years, like when this rush of the Rockets, Warriors, LeBron is done, you'll have your mega team right there sitting for you, waiting. Yeah, you're gonna have to go through the grass and like go through the dirt for a couple more years, but do not give that up for a brief season where you know surpass 45 wins, and then you're drafting like 15 or 16, 17, you know, in the first round, and you're not really improving your team at all. You're just sitting there, you know, in a constant struggle of you trying to like, you know, find money, trade players for cap room, you know, this and that. Like they got rid of D'Angelo Russell because they signed a crazy contract to Timothy Mozgov. You know what I mean? That is crazy to me. Like you as a young team, hold on to your pieces. Do what the Jazz is doing. Do what the Celtics is doing. You know, the Celtics could have traded Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown multiple times this year, but they didn't. You know, they didn't. They just stayed true to themselves. I feel like they, because I remember they were gonna trade for Paul George, and then like you know they're then. And then they ended up just keeping everyone on their roster because they didn't want to, you know, give away their young assets because they want to sit on them. And they're very smart about that, you know. That's what I think. The NBA needs to go that way. The NBA needs to just stay pat on developing the young players, because there's no way that they're going to be able to compete in a 7-game series against James Harden, Chris Paul, and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry. Like, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right, so let's move on to the Western Conference Finals. I want to talk about the Warriors and the Rockets a little bit. The Warriors, you know, they kind of worried me all season. I'm not a Warriors fan. You know, I don't really like Draymond. Steph's okay. Klay's cool too. Kevin Durant and whatever. But like, you know, you watch these guys play when they're all together, and it's like, you know, what I was just saying, like, it's impossible to beat them. Like, how can you beat these guys in a 7-game series? You know, like, and then the only time they got beaten in a 7-game series in the last couple of years is when Draymond Green gets suspended in that game 5, and then LeBron, you know, has to win 3 games straight to win the championship. And Kyrie has to have some crazy games too. See, like, the chips need to fall like in such a good order for the Warriors to lose a 7-game series. And that was without Kevin Durant. Now they got Kevin Durant, it's almost gonna be impossible for them to lose. Maybe the Rockets can pull it out. They did get a better roster this year, and they do play fast basketball, better than the Warriors, I believe. But you know, when you get to this level, and the Warriors have been there for what is it 4 consecutive years now, like, there comes a time where the experience catches up to you, and you are just better than your other opponent. Like, you know what's coming next, you know what they're going to show you, you know the situation, you know, you like, you know the pressure. Like, the dude, the Thunder were beating the Kevin Durantless Warriors 3-1 with Kevin Durant. And who came back? Klay Thompson had a crazy game. Steph Curry had a crazy game. And then they win. And then they go out and win 4-3 in that 4-3 in that series and go game 7. It's like, dude, it's just like it sucks for these young teams coming up too, because they have no chance. They have zero chance. And I guarantee you, this year was like a year where a lot of people did not watch the NBA. And I'm not mad at that. It's just a thing that, like, everyone knew it was going to be the Rockets Warriors. Everyone knew, hey, LeBron's going to get back again, and then the Celtics are probably going to be there because they got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward now. And you're like, and then, like, you're sitting to look at it now, it's like, damn, like, did we even have to play the 82-game season to get to the point where we are now? I mean, did we really? Like, they're going to have the record, and then when they get to the playoffs, are these teams really going to lose in a 7-game series against a lesser team? No. And that's why a lot of people have stopped watching the NBA this year. They've stopped watching it. There's no competition. There's nothing for fans to cling on to besides these stars and these super teams right now. Just a phase in the NBA that we're going to have to, get through really quick. And hopefully in the future, these young teams can prevail, like the Celtics, for instance, and like the Pacers or like the Utah Jazz. Maybe the Lakers in the future, though. All right, so let's talk about some of the other teams that are out of the playoffs. First I want to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Really, really, really bad series against the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell, again, he was out playing Russell Westbrook in every single game. Melo was non-existent in most of the games. Paul George in that last game, where was he at all? I'd be so surprised that Paul George goes back there and puts on a Thunder jersey again. I guarantee you, he probably will not re-sign there. There's no way in hell that he will go back to that team. And if he is, someone just clip this and track me back on my words. But why would someone want to stay on that team when you just got dogged in a playoff series just like that? Why would Russell Westbrook want you on his team? And I feel bad for Russell. You signed that big contract. Who's going to come there and play with him? Like, who's going to go to Oklahoma City, small market, go there and play with him for a championship? He doesn't pass the ball. Like, he is like this triple-double point guard, right? But when he plays, does he look like a point guard? Does he look like an actual point guard to, get everyone involved? Does he? I don't really see it. He's like a scramble guy. He gets his 30 points a game, and he'll get his 10 assists, his dishes to Steven Adams, his wide-open guys for threes, but he's not really making his teammates better. And maybe that's the silver lining that we saw when Kevin Durant left. Maybe Kevin Durant was like, hey, look, I'm not getting any better playing with Russell Westbrook. I'm not going to win a championship. I'm not getting better. I need to move on with my life and go win a championship and grow with better basketball minds. Russell Westbrook does have one of the best basketball bodies in the NBA, one of the best, all-star talent. This guy is the real deal, but he is not like the all-around exclusive player that everyone thinks he is. Like, if he was like that LeBron James type-esque player or that Steph Curry-esque player, you would make everybody around you better. Everybody around you better, like, for instance, Melo, like, how can, like, if you can't get Melo going or like Paul George going, then are you really like a true all-star? That's the question that I ask you guys. Like, do you guys think about that same exact thing when you process the Thunder's, whole scheme this year? Like, is Russell Westbrook really making players better, or is he like decreasing their ultimate value because he's taken away from it? Although he has one speed and he goes at it nonstop and, everyone loves to see it, he's a fan favorite, all that, like, he just doesn't bring to the table what a beneficial point guard should bring to the table. And I really feel bad for Melo. He probably, if he starts in this coming year and maybe like years to come, maybe teams need to like reevaluate their whole like starting system, because that should definitely not happen. He needs to take a lesser role. He needs to get through his head that he's not that type of player anymore. Unfortunately, he was one of my favorite players when I was younger, especially when he went to New York and then when he was on the Nuggets. But now he's just, he's a spot up guy. And a perfect situation for him would be if he would go to like the Rockets, for instance. He could be a spot up guy. Doesn't have to play defense because they don't play no defense down there in Houston. Only like three guys on the team do. That would be a good fit for him. I believe he should move on. Should play with a less fast team. He needs to just sit there and shoot threes and do what he's best at. He can't go to the lane anymore. He's getting dogged by everybody last series. He needs to understand that for them to move forward. So then I want to talk about the Pelicans. Yeah, and that first series was crazy. They swept the Portland Trailblazers. You know, I really think that they're a good team, but CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard need to figure it out, or one of them is going to leave. You know, they can't sit there. It's like a DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry thing. They can't sit there for years, waste their talent, like waste their prime years sitting there and losing in, you know, the Pacific Northwest. You know, it's not really a place for them to grow as a player, you know. But the Pelicans, you know, like Anthony Davis was balling, you know, like where was this Anthony Davis like years, you know, like he was doing this consistently nonstop every single night. Maybe partly has a lot to do when he has actually a true point guard, like in a Rajon Rondo. Jrue Holiday was actually playing really well this series as well. And I believe they actually would have won more games, obviously, in the series against the Warriors if they would have had DeMarcus Cousins, because these teams really can't guard both of those guys. And they could have also like alternated them out, and then they would have like a problem with Draymond and JaVale McGee guarding them. But if DeMarcus Cousins gets healthy and he resigns back with the Pelicans, that's going to be a franchise that is going to be looking for other pieces coming here in the next couple of months during the free agency cycle. But I was really surprised about the Pelicans, and it was good to see a team like that sweep and get those young jitters out of the way. Get Anthony Davis going in the playoffs, because we've all heard about, oh, everyone thinks Anthony Davis is the best talent in the NBA, but where has he been? You know, if he's his best talent, you know, where does he go? You know, like where does he lie? He kind of made a little name for himself. He won a playoff series. You know, he has to get that underneath his belt, and I'm glad DeMarcus kind of got that underneath his belt too. But if DeMarcus resigns, you know, the Pelicans could potentially be a team that could compete with the Warriors within the next couple of years. They just need to get some more pieces. And for the Portland Trailblazers, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they need to figure it out. You have two all-star point guards right there. Both can shoot the ball as well. And they, you know, they're around this team that's not making them better. These guys are all-around talents. They're team players. They're good shooters. They're good to get to the basket players. They're both clutch. But they need room to grow. And I don't know if growing together is the best opportunity for both of them to better their careers and ultimately get to an NBA championship. So they need to reevaluate that and see where they lie, because if they get swept in a series like that, and especially if they start losing games this next year, and you know their team doesn't really play up to par where their talent level is, then maybe you're going to start to see, you know, trade talks start swirling around them, because you know who wants to stay in like the Pacific Northwest if nothing's happening, you know. And like if, say for instance, like a team like the Pelicans, they need a real point guard like Damian Lillard to come in there, and maybe they could go and compete for a Western Conference final, you know. Or he can go, you know, to like play with LeBron or something like that. You know, you never really know, you know, what happens until these players actually sit down and talk about it and talk about their future and like their goals and where they want to go. But these guys need to figure it out. And so now lastly, I want to talk about my Minnesota Timberwolves. I was, you know, at the beginning of the season, I knew they were going to make the playoffs. I had them making the playoffs. But then, you know, Jimmy Butler gets hurt. They start slipping a little bit. I wasn't really seeing like the true, like natural character that Andrew Wiggins usually had. Although he loves playing in these playoff moments, as he said a couple of times during this playoffs, I wish I would have seen more from Andrew Wiggins. Jimmy Butler's Jimmy Butler. I saw a lot of good things from him. But like, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, he's young. Another team that's youthful, but they brought in veteran pieces. I was very excited to see how their series, you know, played out with the Warriors. I mean, with the Rockets. You know, they won one game. Which was good. They won that one game on the road, I believe. You know, they got one win underneath their belt. The first time the Timberwolves have been to the playoffs since the KG days, which it was really, really good to see that. And then now, like they're going to be in that same type of situation. Like, you know, do they want to bring in somebody else to get them to that next level? You know, imagine if LeBron went to Minnesota and was alongside Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler. Like that would be, you know, in Karl Anthony Towns, that would be a killer team right there. And they could actually pay for that because their guys are on young contracts. So something like that could happen literally over this offseason. It can stir up everything in the NBA, but we're just going to have to see what happens with that. Overall, I just want to talk about the NBA playoffs in general and what's been going on with that. Like, you know, it goes back to people not wanting to watch basketball this year because, you know, it's the viewership is down, I believe. No one wants to watch, you know, this type of play where all these teams are tanking, and then it's four or five teams, you know, that are super teams that they all are competing for the championship. Even these players on these teams, I've talked to a couple of them. They even know that they're not going to win, you know, more than 30 games in the season. You know, they even know that. But, you know, they're not even, like, worried about that. All they're worried about is the money, you know. All they're worried about is, you know, going out flashy, showing off, all that. But, you know, a lot of these guys, some of these guys forget that they're playing in the NBA and they'd rather be there for the money. Some of these guys are only playing because they want to play basketball and they're kind of in it for the money and have all their financial stuff set up on the side. Like, you know, for instance, like a LeBron, for instance. Like, you know, some of these guys really like to play basketball, grinding, you know, day in, day out. He has, you know, like a $1 million fitness and nutrition plan that he does. And, you know, a lot of these other guys, they really don't, like, have that stuff going for them, you know? And, you know, it takes you back to are these guys really, like, caring about their, you know, careers? Or, like, what's going on? Like, is the NBA talent level just, like, at an all-time high? Is this too good where, like, no one else can compete with these guys? Or, like, are just, like, younger guys not really trying as hard, or, like, guys coming out of the NBA too early and they're not, like, experienced enough to compete? You know, these are all these questions that are, like, I think, like, it's a time in the NBA right now where, like, you know, things need to change, or, like, or the business side of the NBA is not going to do well for years to come. Like, if, like, in 4 years, if these super teams just are keep assembling and, like, you know, one right after another just keeps getting formed, like, you know, the NBA is going to be unwatchable. You know, it's going to be unwatchable. Like, say, for instance, if LeBron went to Golden State, you know, this next year, like, would anybody watch the NBA? Hell no. No one will watch it, because who's going to win the championship? The Warriors. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's basically already like that now, you know. And it's gone away from those days where you like that hard competition. You know, teams are going to 7-game series every single series. People aren't getting swept like how they are now at almost every single series. And last year it was even worse. But hopefully, you know, coming up here in the future, teams could actually, you know, get out of the rough and actually see the light at the end of the tunnel without, you know, a major superstar in their hands, you know. So, guys, I think I covered almost everything that has been going on in the playoffs and gave you guys my whole opinion on basically all of it. I just wanted to say, you know, thank you to everybody who has supported me along this journalistic journey and through sports and writing and storytelling and podcasting, interviewing, all this type of stuff, because, you know, I want to be here doing this without you guys. You know, it's been a long journey, but I am, you know, going to get out of the journalism realm for quite a long time and going to law school to go be an agent. You know, I realized that my talents will probably be better utilized working with players rather than talking about them. But I'm always down to give my opinion. I'm going to keep doing these podcasts. I want to talk about basketball. That's just the type of guy I am. I'm always doing it. So again, guys, if you guys want, you guys can go and subscribe to this channel on iTunes. Follow me on Twitter @Manny_Vietes. And I'll post another video. I'll post another podcast in a couple of weeks. And hope you guys like it and share it and do all that fun stuff. Listen to it and show all your friends. Play it in the car. Playing podcasts in the car is definitely a good time to kill time. You know, don't listen to the radio or listen to that new Travis Scott song, because it is kind of boo boo. So listen to my podcast. All right, guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. And I hope all you guys graduating, I want to wish all you guys a happy graduation. I'm graduating as well. So hopefully, you know, I don't, like, you know, trip on stage or something like that. So, all right, guys. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Peace. Big dragon fire and say